what we, because there are several points that I'd like to make, and I want to encourage you in this. We are in church. I think you know, if you do the math, and if you're in every service of the church, you're in church then in the assembly about 5% of your time. It's a little bit less than that, actually, but about 5% of your time is spent in the assembly if you come to everything, right? I mean, really, 5% of your time. So what does that mean? Well, many of you, the next 60% is sleeping. No, that's teenagers, right? That it's other things that you do. But really, most of your life is going to be you're out in the world, aren't you? What we call the world, you know? How many of you still work? How many of you are retired and still work? Yeah, there's no retirement. You know, there's no retirement. Anyways, and then there's people that are you're going to school and you're in this arena almost. It's like a battle. I think we need to be gladiators sometimes. And I want to encourage you with the scripture today and with some thoughts. That you need to remember that every day that people are watching us. Dan Hawtrey said, he's an old evangelist, he said, you're the best Christian that somebody knows. But I want to emphasize something. They need to know that you're a Christian. Okay, they need to know that you're a Christian. So I'll tell a story on myself. I think most of you know I've been repairing chainsaws, amongst other things. But everybody that comes over for a chainsaw, they know I give them my testimony and what I've done and different things in my life and different things. But I let them know that I'm a Christian and still pastoring of some sort, even though it's not what they call, with the congregation. But along with that, it's sort of like on my truck. Have you ever seen my truck? In the back window, what's in the back window of my truck? It's the name Jesus, right? There comes a responsibility. You have to understand that, because if they saw me peeling out or doing 100 in a 60 click zone, I wouldn't want to take Jesus along there, right? There is a responsibility. But I want you to take that responsibility really seriously, because you just don't know. You just don't know the impact that your life is going to have. But I believe the scripture wants us to live one that's honoring unto the Lord. So go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. And this is, read along with me. Everybody there? You there? Okay. This is what the scripture says. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for so great salvation. I thank you, Lord, that we are the salt and light of this earth. And I pray, Father, that you bless and open up our understanding. Help us, Lord. Lord, help us with our everyday walk, Lord, as we're in and amongst our friends and family and the brethren and all of this that goes on in this world. To be that salt, and Lord, to be that light. So bless us now and strengthen us. Amen. I certainly don't want to discourage you in any way today. I've taken it upon myself that I truly believe that one of the responsibilities that I have when I go into different pastors' pulpits and other things is to encourage the saints. I really want to edify today. I don't want to demean. I don't want to embarrass. I don't want to do anything but to edify you and to encourage you in your daily walk with the Lord. Did you notice there that it says here, ye are? It didn't say ye might be, did it? Well, the people that he's talking to are his disciples. If we're going to put it in context, it's his disciples. So if you're a disciple of Christ, Now, I know that you might be, but what is a disciple anyway? Somebody that's learning, someone that's following, somebody that's, you know, going along with the plan, so to speak. It didn't say that they were perfect or anything, but ye are as disciples, according to verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. But he's talking to his disciples. And so this is a position that you are in as a born-again believer. Ye are. And so if you say, well, I don't have much salt and light with me, that's not true. It's a lie. Ye are. He has given you, he has empowered you to be this. But he's warning us, isn't he? Isn't it? It says, let your light, in verse 16, go there with me, right? Everybody there? Let your light so shine before men. Now, if you take the comparisons of the previous verses, is it possible that your light would not shine properly? Well, that's if you look at the comparisons about salt losing its savor and hiding a light under a bushel. It is real possible that the light and the salt that ye are can be diminished or doing that. And I guess the question is, are you a 5-watt bulb or a 100-watt bulb? How bright is your light shining, right? And there's different things. How salty are you? And people can build, there's a lot of preaching on what salt is and why he used that comparison. But I think the primary context is to show us that, yes, salt can lose its savor and the light can be hid. But it's up to the individual, isn't it? He says, they hide it. You're hiding it. Don't hide it. Let people know that you're a Christian. Again, with that, though, when you let them know that you're a Christian, did you know that when you tell people you're a Christian, they watch you? When you're serious about it, they do. They do. And if you're off to no good, they'll let you know. And they say, well, I thought you were, didn't you say you went to church? One of the saddest testimonies I ever heard about a church member that I ever had. Is a person that had been with this person and known him for years and years and said, and he's a Christian? That should not be. They should know that you're a Christian. And young people, your friends should know that you're a Christian. And there's nothing wrong with you to say, you know, as a Christian, I do not believe that this is correct to do. And get the name of Christ out there while you're doing something. Because good works unto themselves is really not the purpose for us to receive glory or to just do good to people. It says that your Father may be glorified, okay? It is glorification of the Heavenly Father through obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let your light so shine. Now remember, I've talked to you about that word so before, haven't I? And John 3:16, for God so loved the world. What does it mean? Does everybody remember? I asked this of different people that were in Bible Institute that I taught personally, and they forgot. And it was even written in their margins of their book, but they had forgot it. It just means in this manner, right? In this manner, let it so shine, right? Let your light so shine. But I wrote down here, for a work to glorify God and not you, the receiver must know that you are a Christian, that you're a follower of a Christ, that you are doing this for a purpose. Now, I'm not saying that you say, you know, everything that you do that you're going to have to make this spiel or something like that. But the person knows that you're a Christian, that we are. And did you know that really, as Christians, if we would follow the principles that are in scriptures when it talks about family, neighbors, and assembly, and I'm going to get there sooner or later, when it talks about all these, we would have a great impact on this world. I believe it. I believe it. And like I said, we're going to go out and we're going to do personal soul winning and different things during the revival service. But all of this is to bring glory to God and so that you can witness to people about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's ultimately for a purpose of telling them about the Lord Jesus and how they can be saved. And it brings glory to God the Father. And so let's talk about this, that we're going to be the salt and this light and let it so shine that they may see your good what? Your good works. We know that works does not save. But it is what we've been left on this earth to do. And one of the best works we can do is witness. And the pastor and I have been talking, and we're saying that the heart of men have got pretty hard, hasn't it? I have to tell you, real hard. I don't know, very, very hard. At one time, you know, in North America, clergy if you were clergy, and you know I don't believe in like clergy and laity and that stuff, but the clergy was respected. Did you know in communities, they were primarily the people that were educated, they were good witnesses and, you know, that kind of thing? Well, that's not the way it is anymore, because people don't think anything about pastors or clergy or anything like that. And Christians, I believe, they were honored. And they were thought of. Now, I know that there's always been problems, but there was a respect that was there. But you know that that's changing radically. If you don't know this, well, you need to get out there and interface with some people. It's in our society, it's radically changing. And I was wondering, what could it be? Could it be that people are not seeing Christ in us, which is what we're supposed to be exuding? We're supposed to be giving forth and letting people see Christ in us. And Christ went about just doing good, didn't he? He did. He did. And so are we. We're supposed to do that. So as we let our light so shine, let's just think about some ways. How about in your family? I think I've already given you the math. Did you know that if people that were married, the twain shall be one flesh, and they're going to have children, right? And if they would have had two children in the Lord, and they would have been saved, and then those children have children, if we take that from Pentecost and we go 50 generations forward, over 7 billion people should be Christians. So what does that tell you? Did you know that's how it works out, by the way? What I'm trying to say is this, is amongst in our family, we need to be living a life, because the first line that sees our works is our family. It's our family that sees that. And if we have children and we lose them to the world and they do not be saved, and part of the problem of that is that they can't get past our witness of who we are when we raise them, we are doing a disservice to the Lord. We need to be showing our light and so shining our light to our children. As I told you before I got saved, my children weren't too excited when I got home or anything like that. And that's because I was thinking of more of myself and other things, and I didn't care for bringing things to the children that I should. Now, Betsy hardly remembers this because you were young. But Tom, my son, was even younger. But then things needed to change, and the witness needed to be there, and a care and concern needed to be there. You know, in Deuteronomy 6, I think I know this is to Israel, but the teaching is there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, what does it say? Deuteronomy, right? Deuteronomy 6. It says, now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land where you go to possess it. Now, you notice the thing about doing them? That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Now, you know that when you read that and you go into that portion of Scripture, you know that, of course, when you read the Old Testament, how long did Israel do that? The answer is no, they did not, did they? And what happened? The result was that the next generation, the timing is one generation that knew the Lord and followed the Lord and said, we're going to follow you. Then one generation later, it says they knew not the Lord. Speaking of all the people there, in a general statement, that they knew not the Lord. That's how fast it can do. So fathers, mothers, you need to go ahead and teach your children. And you need to teach them in such a loving way. And it tells fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It talks about mothers and gives us instructions in the New Testament. But you need to do works that are loving and good. And you need to go and bring up another generation unto the Lord. It's called generational Christianity. And that's a good thing. But you won't bring up generational Christians if you're self-absorbed. And if you don't follow the statutes and the teachings of what the Scripture says. Now, listen, I tell people, look, God was a pretty good parent, and he had some children that went astray. I understand that children can go astray, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, that kind of thing. And he had children that went astray. I understand that. But it wasn't because of something in his life. His works were good. His works were very good, it says. And he provided everything. So parents, there's a responsibility that you go ahead and you follow the Lord and you let your light so shine before your children. And believe me, they are the first ones that usually see so much of the problem. And you need to take it seriously because now you're a Christian. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to exemplify Christ. I can remember Betsy. I can remember a lot of things about Betsy. But I can remember Betsy mentioning to me after I had got saved and stuff, I was watching something on TV because, you know, this is right after salvation and, you know, there's a learning curve there, right? There is. There's a learning curve. And she said, she doesn't even probably remember this, but she said, Dad, you can't watch that. I said, why not, man? you know, that kind of thing. But really, it was that. And it convicted me. It really did. You know, it convicted me. I said, you know, she's right. I gotta readjust what I listen to, what I hear, what I watch, and everything. For a witness to my children, they've already been influenced by the negative side for many years. And now I need to, and I do, to glorify God so that I can witness to them, that I could be a witness to them and take it very, very seriously. You know, to your neighbors, and you know, the neighbors, I'm going to get into one verse for the sake of time, or maybe I'll go into a little bit more. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. So I want to encourage you to be a witness to your family at home so that you could raise generational Christians, that they will be looking at you, that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You might even have the privilege of leading your own children to the Lord, which is a great thing. You might have that privilege, you know, to do that. Sometimes it's a Sunday school teacher, but a lot of times it's a mother or father or sometimes even brothers. And you want to be able to do that. And in Luke chapter 10, I'll get there here, in verse 25, is a portion of Scripture that we all are familiar with, and it goes into what is called the Good Samaritan as an example. But I'd like to just take 25 to maybe 29, okay, because there's a point that I want to make. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, he was tempting him, right? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you're wondering what he encapsulated there, he encapsulated the Ten Commandments in two statements. Loving the Lord thy God is commandment 1 through 4, and loving thy neighbor as thyself is commandment 5 through 10. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not cut, you know, all the rest of it, okay? Love thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. And then this is what it says. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? So we're talking about that. And then Jesus takes this term neighbor, which is one close by. If you want to know the literal meaning of it, it means someone close by. And he expands it, doesn't he? He doesn't say, well, those that live within, you know, your household or neighbors, you know, like we call our neighbor the houses next to us, right? Even though it is those, that group. But it also includes those people that are outside of that. The Lord says they are neighbor too. And you need to be salt and light and a witness so that the opportunity when it comes, when you invite them to church, when you try to tell them about the Lord, and they know you're a Christian, that your works will not be a hindrance to the gospel or that invitation, but it will draw them because of good works. It has power. Good works have a lot of power with people. And you need to understand that who is your neighbor? Well, it's just not that. It's those that are expanded, those that I know about. And you need to do good works and show yourself with these people. You don't need to be harsh. You don't need to be in any way distance from them. And so whether it's all that you do, and I'm not saying that you need to go around and look around and walk the streets, even though that would be okay, for something to do good towards people. It comes your way. How many of you at work, you meet all kinds of folks? You do. And how, I don't know about you, but as soon as a person seems to know that you're a Christian or that you're, they come to you and they got to tell you all their problems. I mean, it's like, whoa. But those aren't really something to discourage you. Don't think of it as a discouragement. Think about it as an opportunity. When you hear about problems with your neighbors, when they're going through a difficult time, when you, but you got to be out in the neighborhood, right? And you got to have your ears going. You know, you got to be listening to what's going on. And I'm not saying I do this to perfection or anything like that, but it is a way to reach out for people. But I have to say, because the world is, and it is, there's so much going on with the world and how they speak and how they dress and what they listen to and what's going on in their life. And it can be sometimes a little bit overwhelming. I understand that. But you got to be part of them to be able to be a witness. We have to reach our communities. And there are people out there that are hurting. There are. They are hurting. And if you have a witness there, and if they know that your life is going down a good path, then you're going to be able to counsel with them. You're going to be able to encourage them. And you need to. You need to go ahead and be part of this community. I didn't say that they'll respond correctly. If you're waiting for the proper response for your motivation on this, you're going to be discouraged. But you need to know that you need to reach out to your neighbors. You need to reach out to your family. You need to reach out to your neighbors with good works. You're not going to lose your saltiness. You're not going to lose your light. But what is all of that? That you can glorify the God of heaven. And we need to do that kind of thing. We need to reach out to neighbors. All my neighbors can use any of my tools. I don't even care if they break them. Okay, a little bit. Okay. Because when you lend your neighbors your tools, there are some neighbors that, you know, they actually clean the grease off of the tools, and then there's other neighbors that they hand the tool back, and it's, you know, it's like, what is it? But anyways, I don't really care. But all the neighbors are not. Now you say, well, that's a what is that? It has its effect. I do invite them to church. I do invite them to special meetings. I do try to talk to them about the things of the Lord. And some of that stuff is that it is so hard to crack and to get in close with these people. But I can tell you that little by little, I believe it'll make a difference. But this I do know, that when they're hurting, they're going to select and seek you out rather than somebody that's hard-hearted towards them. They'll seek you out. And that's why it's important. We don't know those things. That's why in the community, with what we're doing community-wise about single moms, I don't even know if all the single moms are going to show up. But the community knows that we're trying to do something to help people. And that has power. And it's a good work. They know it's by the church. They know it's by church member. It's a good witness. And there's absolutely. So you need to understand that your neighbor is just not your neighbor. But why don't you start there? I got a challenge for you this summer. Reach out to your neighborhood. Okay? Reach out to your neighborhood. That doesn't. And I understand we're going to take the. Ultimately, we do want to share with them our faith. We do. That's what this is all about, because the work of Jesus Christ is the ultimate glorification of God the Father. It was his plan from the beginning. And what I'm saying is that you need to reach out, and you need to do. Now, don't do at the, and, you know, quit your job and not bring money home so that your kids can eat. You know, there is a proper thing to all of this, and we need to be obedient. But think about your neighbors. Why don't we meet your neighbors? There's some neighbors out in the corner of Horkoff Road that I have not personally met, and I'm going to meet them and try to break the ice a little bit. The other ones I've touched to, you know, I've touched upon and different things like that. Some of them are friendly, some of them are not so friendly. But the whole point is that why don't you, all of us this summer try to reach your neighbors and try to touch base with your neighbors? And if there's an opportunity to do something good for them and to encourage them, why don't we do it? But let them know that you're a Christian. Let them know. Let it be that they understand that Christians still do, just don't complain about things, but that they do good in this world. And so reach out to your neighborhood. Now, how about the assembly? Look at Galatians. This covers both of what I've been talking about. Okay, how many of you would reach out to your neighbors? Come on now, is that too much to ask? That's not too much to ask, okay? All you're going to do is go around your neighborhood and you're just going to try to meet your neighbors, okay? I mean, meet them and, you know, around that. And then if that's too easy for you, then expand your neighborhood, as Jesus said, right? You're looking for the neighbor way out there, a little bit further. But do that in all that you do. I have to tell you about Lee. Now, Lee, he fixes all the things over there in Raspberry. Lee, in his conversation, will make a sailor blush. Really, I'm telling you, never mind. I don't want to go into it, okay? Because if I go into it, then, and I don't want to even think about what else. But he would make, did you know that the last time that I was there, and he knows who I am, that we sat down on a chair and he was telling me about his history, and he did not swear one time. It just works. And I want to be able to witness to Lee. I want to be able to have that open opportunity that he would listen to me, right? That he thinks I'm, you know, that it's not a hindrance. So do that, would you please? It'll be a blessing. You can pray for Lee too. And that'll be something. So into the assembly in Galatians 6. Galatians 6. And then we go in verse 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Then it says, what? Especially unto them who are the household of faith. So I don't want to diminish. We could use the verse for both ways. Do good unto all men. Honesty, integrity, showing a good witness, not showing them our temper, not showing them our irritable way. Any of you wake up irritable? You don't have to admit it. Did you know that that's a choice that you make? Yeah. Wake up. Have a smile on your face. Force yourself. Don't wake up irritable. Anyways, to the assembly, right? Galatians 6:10. But especially those of the household of faith. The household of faith, we're going to talk about the local church, but also the household of faith, that's a more general term, okay? And it speaks of a household where, in a community where brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts are there, right? It's like this whole thing. So it speaks of Christians, other Christians, and of course the assembly, because you don't want to forget the assembly at all. And matter of fact, we're going to get to that in just a minute. We need to not forget them also. We need to do good works and edify them and show them our salt and our light and encourage them. But if we're not aware of what's going on in each other's life, then how do you think we're going to go and reach a lost and dying world? I mean, if we don't know what's going on in our brothers and sisters' life that we're not close to, that we're not encouraging, that we're not edifying, then how are we going to go? No, we need to make it our point. If we're going to do good in this world, if we're going to do good to the Christians in general, to be part of it and know what's going on. But dear Christian, I have to tell you something, speaking from the pastor, you got to let us know if there's a problem. You got to let preachers know, that you got to let your pastors know that there's a problem. I'm going to mention again so many times, you go, hey, how you doing today? Fine. Oh, yeah, they just told me I have cancer, and my wife left me, and all of these things are going on, and people will tell you just fine. No, you got to be honest, because we want to pray for you. It might be, and if you tell people, well, my car's broke down, and I'll say, praise the Lord, let's get Alan, and no, we have to do something about it. Actually, within the church, okay, there's people with different skill sets, right? And if we know there's a problem, why can't we help? if it's something. But there's family problems. There's all this going on. We want to pray for you, but we need to put good works in there. We need to help people. If you got extra things, if you got things, give it away. It's not worth anything. And do whatever you need to do, but you need to do good works, and you need to let people see that you're following the commands of Christ. This isn't supposed to be just about that we meet together and smile at one another for the 5% of the time. We are to be a community beyond that. Now, I know that with different families and different things that everybody's busy, and I understand busy, but we need to be part. We need to make it. So we need to make and show our light to family. We need to show it to the neighbors. We need to show it to the assembly and to Christians in Galatians 6:10. 2 Corinthians 1:4, along these same lines. Oop, I went too far. I'll start with verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. As you go through your Christian walk, you're going to experience the comforting of God during many different situations, whether it be the death, whether it be financial problems, not only you, but other people that you've experienced, that you've shared. And you're going to understand that God can comfort you during all these times. The reason that is doing that, he does that for us, is so that when we see another Christian that is in the hurts in any way, that we can comfort them and we can say, the Lord's been faithful in this, and he will see you through this. And whether it's marriage difficulties, whether it's other problems that are there, financial or whatever it might be, God comforts us in these things. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you have experienced this. We need to reach out with that comfort and share that comfort with other people, to the household of faith, to the assembly, and yes, even to our neighbors. It's a good witness when a neighbor's hurting and they're at their wit's end, they don't know. And you can say, God has and God can, and he will help you. And you can witness, and you're going to tell them, because ultimately what all of this is for, it is the glorifying when they know that you're a Christian and the people say, well, that's a Christian there, and that's somebody that's different. Everybody thinks that, you know, these people that cross their legs and hum and they're making big things out of gurus and other things like that, they should be looking at Christians and say, you want to see somebody that does good in our community, in our home, in our family, in our thing. There's some Christians that do good. And they are trying to help, and they are trying to be a witness for the Lord. And they're letting their light shine. And it, of course you're going to let the light of the glorious gospel. It is going to go into there. But you need to be living a life so that the message can be a proper messenger. And you I wrote down here one of the things that went real wrong in Acts 16. Acts 16. Isn't it interesting in Acts 16, verse 17, it says, and the same followed Paul. Well, it's this spirit of divination. Verse 16, I'll start there. And it came to pass, as they went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, this isn't a good thing. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. The message was correct. The message was, that's true. But it was the wrong messenger. It was the wrong messenger. And that's what I'm trying to say. You need to be able to give the message and have it by the right messenger, with the right witness, because people are looking at you, and we need to show them more about what Christ is all about. Whether it's honesty in business and our transactions that we do, whether there's integrity, whether when we say something, we do it, in all of these aspects, we need to be challenged to give a life so that our light is shining bright to our neighbors, to our friends, to our workmates, to our assembly. And we need to do that to bring glory unto God the Father. And it's a great thing. God, Satan has blinded the eyes. He has. He's blinded the eyes. It is so, there's this stumbling block that is there that is not accepting, that they're not accepting the way of truth. And you need to reach out. And I'm not even going to tell you it's going to get any better. I don't know if it's going to get any better in Canada at all. Matter of fact, it might wax worse and worse. But the thing is we still need to do it. We still need to live a life that is honoring to God. I believe that a transformed life is the greatest power that normal people see. There's power in a transformed life. And you said, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm talking about the Legion. The Legion. At one moment he was in the graves cutting himself. Everybody in that whole area of the Gadarenes was scared to death of this guy. And he come to see Jesus and he was sitting in his right mind. And then Jesus said, and just go witness to your family. And he went to Decapolis. He went beyond. He thought his neighbor was more than just his family. He went to 10, Deca means 10 cities he went to and witnessed. The same people that kicked him out of the country after the Legion invited him in, and he did more miracles in the Gadarene area, and you need to just study that, what he did and what he was able to do because of the faith, because of the Legion's testimony. And a transformed life is that. But he told them about great things that what God hath done for you. And that's what it begins with. I was this, and then I got saved, and Jesus saved my soul through his death, burial, and resurrection. And then there's a transformed life, and our works shine. Just not that we're saved, but that it had power in our life. And that is influential with people. And so we need to do that. I can tell you that miracles don't soften the heart. Miracles, everybody goes after, and there's this whole group of Christianity out there that's after the miracles. You need to study about miracles. At the best, miracles impressed people for a short period of time. You got to think of the, you know, hail and all the rest of it that came down, the parting of the water. All of these things that were there, it impressed people for a short period of time. But it's the washing of the water by the word. It is water that softens hard ground. And so we need to give them the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. We need to show them that the water of the word had power in our life and softened our heart and changed us. And then we can witness and be have a great witness amongst our neighborhood. What did it say? Paul, in 1 Corinthians 3:6, it said this. What? Paul, what? Planted. And Apollos, what? He watered. Isn't that an interesting thing, you know? He followed up. He was there. Did he give him the gospel over and over again? Probably, I don't know. But I know that watering is that you replenish something. You know, you reinforce it. You're nurturing it. And we need to do that. And we need to consider that in our everyday life. So, dear friends, this summer, okay, you're going to hear about soul winning, and we're going to be out there doing that, and praise the Lord for it in that sense of going out. But in your everyday life, you're going to meet more people. You're going to have an influence on more people in your everyday life because most of your time is spent out there. Let your light shine. Be aware of it. Be aware and let people know, and along with it is a responsibility that you are a Christian, a follower of Christ. As you stand with me, please.